Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Is such a great competitor, but I think this has to be a medical decision. You have to let medical people who understand the circumstances around these injuries, these concussions. When you have multiple concussions, that's not a good sign. Tua and his family and everyone else should listen to all the medical evidence and make sure that you're not compromising your future health-wise by continuing to play football. But I think that's a medical decision. I don't think that's something for me to speculate on, and I know a lot of people are doing it. The family should not be influenced by that. Tua should not be influenced by that. It should be all based on medical professionals.
Yeah, that's Nick Saban on the Tua Tagovailoa situation. Obviously, really tough to see what happened Thursday night. We talked about it on Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll see what happens with Tua. The report is he's not considering retirement. And Nick is right there, right? Coach Saban says, hey, it's not my call to tell him what to do, to speculate. That's what something he has to work through, and that's right. Someone said to me after the game, well, it's no one has a right to tell him what to do. That's right. Yeah, but I mean, people will have opinions, right? People will have opinions what we do. You could call up right now and say he should retire. That's fine. That's your opinion, but it's up to him. It's his life and his career. And that's a decision he's got to make with his family and medical, as Saban points out there. I thought Teddy Bruschi was very, very good on this over the weekend. I don't know. You don't have the Bruschi sound, do you? I think Josh is going to grab the Bruschi sound. And it's a bit long, so we don't have to necessarily play it, Josh. But what Bruschi said was Bruschi had a stroke. And he said, listen, doctors don't tell you black and white a lot of times. They tell you the gray. They'll give you the information so you can make your informed decision. It's exactly right. It's exactly right. And if you've ever been in that situation, doctor's going to say, here's what you can do. Here are your options. I can tell you the risks involved with each. I can tell you the benefits involved in each. That's what a good doctor's supposed to do, right? And then you go from there. And you make that decision based on your life with your family, your decision, and you and your career. And that's what Tua's got to do here. And we'll see. In the meantime, the Dolphins have apparently signed Tyler Huntley to their active roster, I would guess. Active roster? I don't know. Maybe. Did they put Tua on IR? Either way, they're bringing in Tyler Huntley. I actually thought they would look at Mike White because he had been there all year, all offseason, and then he was released, then he went to the Bills, and he's on their practice squad. So I thought they might go from Mike White, but apparently that's not the case. Sal Capaccio here, hour number two on a Victory Monday Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is a Catholic Health Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Always, our Buffalo Football Monday is brought to you by Northwest Bank, as I just said. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and we'll also bring you a lot more this hour as we look ahead to the Jacksonville Jaguars on the back end of it. In the meantime, let's get back connected with our fans, Wayne in Cheektowaga. Hi, Wayne.
How are you doing, Sal?
I'm good, thanks.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. I love the
it.
Show.
Thank you, buddy.
I got a question about Bean and, the scout. Who are the scouts behind the scenes that, find these players?
They have a lot of them. They have what's called regional scouts. They have, I don't know if they're Blesto scouts anymore, but basically they have regional scouts, and then they have people on top of them, player personnel. There's a college personnel department. Okay, Wayne, how it works is when you have a college personnel department, that they're just focused on the college players, right? And the they go to these games, they have regional scouts, they go to the Southeast or the Northeast, or the Southwest, they go to these games. And then they have a pro scouting department. Their job is to look at guys around the league who might be becoming free agents, or, hey, down the road, there's a guy that we'd be interested in if we ever get to a point where he's a free agent or we could trade for them. And then you have people at the top of the organization, like Brandon Bean, like Terrence Gray, like Brian Gain, who are kind of all-encompassing and bring all of that together, if that makes sense.
Yeah, certainly. I was just wondering about that.
Yeah.
That's good. And I just had one saying I've heard that I go by. I think you will, too, is someone once said, you're never as good as you think you are, and you're never as bad as you think you are. So I like to pump. You know, it's a great start. I hope we're as good as we think we are, but I like to pump the brakes a little.
You got it, buddy. Yeah, you got it. That's a good call, and you're right about that. And you know the way I like to keep it here. Some of the names you asked for, I just wanted to bring them up. I didn't want to leave anybody out. I brought up Brian Gain. He's the assistant GM. Terrence Gray is player personnel. So that's all encompassing. That's college and pro. Matt Bazargan is the director of college scouting. That's his department. He focuses on college scouting. Malik Boyd is a senior personnel advisor, so he's kind of involved in everything there. Lake Dawson, a senior executive. And then you get to Chris Morrow, who is a direct co-director of pro scouting, which is just on the pro side, as I said. Asil Muba. Chris Rukavina, pro scouting. Mubaz, pro scouting. Alonzo Dotson, a college national scout. I'm reading off their website. You asked about some names. Brian Fisher is an area scout. Andrea Gosper is a player personnel coordinator. And then you have your area scouts I talked about, these regional area scouts. Pete Harris, Keith Jennings, Vince Magri. Hope I say all these names right. Tyler Pratt. Darius Vinette. You have Mike Zabo, who's a college scout, and then RJ Webb is a Blesto scout. What's a Blesto scout? Blesto is an organization that helps put a list together every year for teams in the NFL from college. They say, hey, we're going to get together at this big meeting. Here's the guys that are going to be eligible coming out of college. It's like this organization that does it, and you have like a liaison there, a scout that actually helps kind of go through that list. That's RJ Webb's job, too. So there you go. You asked? Hopefully gave it to you. Steve in Orchard Park, what's up?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
Just a couple things. Overall, you know, I think the Bills, it appears that we have more depth in the secondary than we thought. Kind of worried about the safety position. But, you know, the two guys that are playing there now are doing a pretty good job. And we got Edwards and the kid we drafted, you know,
Bishop.
Ready to come. Right, Bishop, if we need to be. So that looks good. Overall, though, I'm hoping we get Smoot back and Javon Solomon for the next game.
Yeah.
That would be interesting to see Solomon play in the regular season. And Smoot is a really good kind of two-dimensional tackle-type end player who's really solid. The other thing is this. These two teams don't like each other, and I think that goes back to the 9-6 game, I believe it was, a few years ago, we lost down there. And then last season, they were pretty well rested. They had been in, was it London, for 2 weeks before we got there. And we flew in on a Thursday, and obviously it was kind of a disaster. So now it's kind of the opposite. They got to fly to Buffalo. They're 0-2. The pressure's really on them. If they don't win, they're looking at a tough season. So I think we're going to get their best game. But it's going to be pretty rowdy in that stadium. And, you know, I just hope we're ready to give them a little payback, because that's what I'm saying.
You got it, buddy. You got it. Good call, Steve. Thank you very much. We got a couple from up north. Let's go first to Ryan in Toronto. Hi, Ryan.
Sad, I love the show, bro.
Thanks, buddy.
Touching back on Tua and the Dolphins situation, I'm surprised they have not reached out to Tannehill.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about that, maybe. But, you know, to get a guy like Ryan Tannehill, I don't know what kind of money he's going to want. That's always a factor. You have to remember that, Ryan, right? Like, hey, what is he going to want? He's going to want to be the starting quarterback. Are they looking for a starter, or are they looking for a backup to Skylar Thompson? Because let's remember, we also don't know, are they thinking Tua's going to be back in a month or so, or 2 months? So you got to be very careful about those kinds of things. It's always a tough needle to thread a little bit there. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Ryan Tannehill's thinking. It always takes two, you know?
Yeah, but wasn't he drafted by the Dolphins?
Oh, yeah, he played well there for, you know, he had a decent career. He moved on. He wasn't a bad quarterback. He wasn't great. But, yeah, he was there for many years.
Okay, two more things as well. Baltimore Ravens, good on paper, man. But you know what? Horrible time of game management. And secondly, Houston Texans, they look scary, man. They look scary.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it. Texans, they do look good. Although I just thought that they couldn't put away the Browns last night. Browns, Bears. Couldn't put away the Bears. The Bears looked like the Bengals or the Browns last night in their uniforms. The Texans couldn't put away the Bears last night, and they should have been able to. I'll get to the Texans in a minute. I want to get to the NFL and the league and games coming up here. Let's go to Walter first in Toronto. Hi, Walter. What's going on, man?
Hey, Sal. You know, I can't help but feeling that this year, this season, sort of feels like the season of the 13-second game, you know? The Bills were on the rise, and it feels that way now because of the rebuild. Whereas the last couple of years, 2 years ago, we were the favorites. I like where we are right now. And just like that year, it looks like KC is going to be the team to beat. And you know, I mean, they're getting all the breaks. The last couple of games, boy, they could easily be 0-2 instead of 2-0. But I have a suspicion the Bills are destined to face KC in the playoffs. But so far, lucky love in the season. I want to call it a rebuild. I know that's more a hockey term, but the Bills.
No, it happens in all sports. Every team can go through it. You know what I mean? Someone actually brought up a good point to me, Walter, when I mentioned about how earlier, if you're listening, when I said you don't get this without the continuity of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott and being able to draft and develop guys and when they're ready, because if you have changing head coaches, you can't do that all the time. And someone said to me,
incredibly, incredibly insightful, Sal. Never thought about that, but you're right.
Yeah,
you know,
thank you.
Built this culture. Thanks.
Right. Well, what someone said though, they're like, well, that's what the Sabres have been doing, and that's right. But hockey's different. You have a farm team in hockey. You have a farm club. You have different timelines. You don't just get 3 years and make a decision on a guy essentially, or 4 years. You know what I mean? Like, you can do that, but guys are in organizations in hockey for longer, and you have farm clubs that develop them. It's not the same as football. It is right that if you're doing this in any sport and you're always changing your front office, your head coach, all that, you can never get that consistency to develop. But certainly in football, I think it's a much different animal than most sports because you have such a finite timeline to do it.
And I think that would attract free agents, right?
Yeah.
Coming to a stable organization that's got a great pedigree, great stability, you know, obviously Josh Allen is a big part of that. But that could only, and I know we got more cap room and a lot of picks for next year. So, you know, I mean, the future looks good, especially our start this year. All the best, Al.
You got it, buddy. Thanks for giving a call, as usual. Enjoy hockey season coming up, where I know I'm going to hear even more from you, Walter, right there. All right, let's do it. Let's get to what happened around the NFL yesterday. We had the Thursday night game, of course. The Bills took care of business in Miami, 31-10. Let's start it off with a big upset, knocking me out of my death pool. I took the Raiders to lose. I'm out, but I'm happy because AFC football, all these good teams who can get losses and keep getting losses, you never know how it's going to impact as the year goes on. The Ravens fall to 0-2. Somebody just called and said Ravens clock management. Yeah, I agree. Like, towards the end of the game, there was some thing. I think they had no timeouts. They used those a little bit earlier, right? I mean, Lamar Jackson, 21 of 34, 247. Derrick Henry, 84 yards, a touchdown. They weren't bad on offense, but they allowed Gardner Minshew and the Raiders to be able to hang around and eventually beat him in the end. How about Davante Adams? 9 catches, 110, and a touchdown. He had a really nice game, Davante Adams. Raiders. Yes, I know. That's a Chris Berman thing. It's all in our lexicon now, right? Raiders 1-1. Ravens 0-2. Chargers are 2-0. They look good, but how impressive are they really, considering they have now played... Who did the Chargers play in their two games? Well, the Raiders, okay, I'll give them they beat the Raiders, they beat the Ravens, so there you go. Jim Harbaugh's 2-0. Raiders, Panthers.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Panthers 2-0. They look good yesterday, but I just can't shake the fact of who they played. The Carolina Panthers are one of the worst teams I've seen in the NFL in years. They're horrible. Now, that said, it's the NFL, and maybe the Panthers wind up winning next week playing the Raiders. Who knows, right? They look terrible, the Carolina Panthers. They've scored 13 points in 2 weeks. They've given up 47 and 26. So I don't know how good the Chargers are. They look like they're pretty good. Quentin Johnston looks pretty good. But I think the Panthers are just absolutely terrible. They're in the same division as the Saints, who look really, really good. 44 points a week after scoring 47. How much can this keep up? They beat the Cowboys 44-19. Boy, big day for Rashid Shaheed. 4 catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. Big day for Derek Carr. 2 touchdowns, 243 passing. Didn't have to do much in the second half because Alvin Kamara took care of business. 115 and 3 TDs. Alvin Kamara just loves scoring touchdowns. How about the Cowboys? Couldn't get out of their own way in the first half. They gave up a total of 432 yards. I think most of that was in the first half. Cowboys go to 1-1. Saints go to 2-0. Saints and Buccaneers. The 2-0 teams in the NFC South. They're going to be battling this year. When do they play? Ooh, Saints and Buccaneers. They play October 13th. But how about the Bucs? Folks, that's an impressive win for the Bucs. It's impressive for Baker Mayfield. They go to the Lions. They win 20-16. Baker Mayfield, 12 of 19, super efficient, 185 yards. Chris Godwin goes off, 7 catches, 117, and a touchdown. And their defense just kept stopping Detroit every time Detroit needed a play. Now, Detroit had 463 yards. How about this? Detroit outgained Tampa 463-216 and lost 20-16. The Bucs might be pretty good. We'll see about that. What do they have coming up? Next week. They're against, yeah, they take on the Broncos. Where are the Lions next week? Ooh, the Cards. Got to get to the Cards in a minute. Colts. They do not look like a team that a lot of people thought they would be so far. Anthony Richardson still finding his way, apparently. I mean, they lost to a Packers team who started Malik Willis, who just kept handing the ball off to Josh Jacobs 32 times. Josh Jacobs, 32 carries, 151 yards. Congratulations if you have in your fantasy league. Although he didn't score a touchdown. Where'd they get their touchdowns from? Wicks. Wicks scores. The wide receiver. That's it. That's all they have for touchdowns. They just played good defense. Kept it conservative. Didn't ask Malik Willis to do much. Malik Willis had a nice game. 12 of 14. 122 and a touchdown. But Anthony Richardson, all this talk about him being like fantasy QB 2 or 3 or 4, not happening right now. He had 204 yards on 34 attempts. 17 completions. I mean, Jonathan Taylor ran for 103 yards on 12 carries, 8.6 yards a carry, but they could not get the ball in the end zone. They lose 16-10. They did eventually get a ball in the end zone. Pierce. What's the, why can't I think of his name? Pierce for the Colts, his first name. Alec. Thank you, Alec. I'm thinking of Antonio Pierce because the Raiders, I just saw a video of him hugging Tom Telesco. So I was thinking about him, and he had A. Pierce. There you go. So thank you. Thank you for that, Alec Pierce. Nice job by the Packers. That's a nice win for them. They needed that. Without Jordan Love, they have to sustain here. Just ask your quarterback to go 500 if you have to fill in, and he's already got one win, Malik Willis. Browns at Jags. Browns beat the Jags 18-13. Jags, terrible in the red zone. Something to watch for next week. They could not get into the end zone, had to settle for field goals, and they're playing a really good defense and a good running game. And the Browns have a guy go for 64 yards, 42 yards, 20 yards for Watson. Browns ran the ball well, 125 yards rushing. Deshaun Watson played a nice game, wasn't overly spectacular, 12 of 34, 186. Jerry Jeudy, of all people, is their leading receiver, 5 for 73. And then you have Trevor Lawrence and the Jags, who just can't get out of their own way on offense right now. The Jags, through 2 weeks, they have 17 and 13. They've scored a total of 30 points in 2 weeks, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they're coming to Buffalo next week. We're going to talk about that game in a little while. They're 0-2. Browns get off the mat a little bit, 1-1. Nice to see that for them. Who do they have next week? Giants. Yeah, I need to talk about them. I'm just going in order here. When I say that, I say I have to talk about them. I will, because I'm getting all these games. Vikings. Talked about it earlier. 23-17 over a Niners team that's a bit banged up, but still has all their weapons. Kittle left for an IV, comes back. I mean, are they bad? Yeah, I mean, McCaffrey, but still, Jordan Mason still had a really good game. He had 100 yards rushing, 5 yards a carry, had a touchdown. Debo, 8 catches, 110 yards. Purdy threw for 219, but Sam Darnold's out here slinging it. 268, 2 touchdowns, gets Justin Jefferson 4 balls for 133, but Jefferson is hurt. We'll monitor that. Good job by the Vikings, a team that a lot of people, including me, thought would be really bad this year, but said, hey, I did say, better for them to have Sam Darnold than J.J. McCarthy, and that's how it's turning out for them. So, we'll see where they go. Vikings next week get the Texans, as I said. Root for the Vikings in that one, though. And then the Niners have the Rams. Seahawks-Patriots. This game, back and forth. I'm going to respect the Patriots a little bit for how they've hung in a couple of games here and actually beat the Bengals and then had the Seahawks on the ropes. That's how they have to play. I'll give credit to Gerard Mayo for knowing his team and how they have to play. This is how they have to try and win games. Low scoring, close to the vest, don't give up a few big plays. The Seahawks had a few big plays. That's how they wind up winning. Seahawks win this game 23-20 in overtime. The same goes to overtime. Now, passing-wise, Jacoby Brissett only 149 and a touchdown. But they don't need him to do too much. I mean, Antonio Gibson had a nice day, 96 yards. Stevenson had a nice day, 81 yards. That's how they have to win. They still can't really throw the ball downfield. Jalen Polk had a touchdown, but it was a 2-yard touchdown catch. I think it was. Wasn't it? Was it 2 yards? Let me see here. Five. It's 5 yards. On the other side, Geno Smith threw the ball 44 times for 327 and a touchdown. DK goes off. 10 catches, 129. Jackson Smith and Jigba goes off. 12 catches, 117. Too many big plays for the bigger plays down the field for the Seahawks. They win. Patriots get kind of knocked off their perch a little bit. But I do think that they're playing the way they need to play, but it's not sustainable to keep winning that way. Your margin for error for the Patriots is just too much. It's just too razor thin, I should say. Jets. Boy, the Titans had them. They let them off the hook, as Dennis Green would say one time. 24-17. This game is back and forth. Looks like it's going to overtime, but the Jets put together a drive. Braden Allen scores 20 yards away. Guy's 20 years old. He's got a rushing touchdown, a receiving touchdown in the same game. Youngest player to ever do that. But this was about Will Levis making terrible decisions. And yesterday I tweeted out at one point, I said, Will Levis is 2019 Josh Allen. And people took such offense to that in Bills country. I'm not saying he's as good as Josh Allen. But some of the, oh my God, what are you doing decisions is all I meant. He also threw some really nice balls. He's not Josh. I get it. He's not going to be Josh. I understand that. Not my point. Sorry for all of you who took so much quick offense to that. I actually deleted it. I did delete the tweet. It was just too much dealing with people coming at me about it. And I'm like, stop. You didn't understand. But I'll take it. I'll own it. I should have phrased it better. It's just some of the decisions you're like, oh my God, I can't believe he just did that. How did he do that? And then all of a sudden he makes a throw down the field to Calvin really like, see? That's the kind of arm talent he has. Titans go to 0-2. Jets go to 1-1. The Giants are bad. Surprise, surprise. The Giants are bad. They've scored 6 points and 18 points. They lose to the Commanders 21-18. They lose their kicker during the game. They can't kick. They have to go for 2. Doesn't work out. 21-18 they lose. They scored 24 points in 2 games. Not a good start for Brian Daboll. He was asked specifically about his job status, if he was worried about it, after the game. He's like, I've been doing this long enough, I don't worry about that. And I agree with that. Now, the Commanders, who get their first win, with Jaden Daniels at quarterback, they'll go to the Bengals next week. The Giants, they'll go to the Browns next week. I would think Bengals and Browns have good opportunities to win some games next week. The Arizona Cardinals look really good. Really good yesterday. Kyler Murray looked awesome yesterday. This is a... I'm going to tell you... I know I want to save the Cardinals. Surprise, surprise. Hint, hint. In a little while, I'm going to talk more about them. Let me talk about the Rams, though. Matthew Stafford, 19-27, 216. They have now... Puka Nacua is out, and now Cooper Kupp is out. Their leading receiver yesterday. Their leading receiver. DeMarcus Robinson with 50 yards. Now, 2 weeks ago, the Bills' leading receiver against the Cardinals was Keon Coleman, 51 yards. But two catches for 50 yards. Their total offensive output, 245 yards. Not good enough. The Rams are not... I ate the cheese on the Rams when people kept telling me about them. I did not like the Rams all like as much as people. I didn't. Going into the season, I'm like, I'm not as high on the Rams as everybody. But I just kept hearing everybody else talk about them. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll be high on the Rams. And yeah, I'm not now. 30 points, first two games. They get the Niners next week. Steelers are 2-0, folks. Jeremy and Joe said, who's the biggest lie? Could it be the Steelers? I mean, they're 2-0. They're playing nice ball. Defensive football, close to the best football. Again, margin for error, razor thin when you do that. But they did everything they needed to do against the Broncos, who just kept... The Broncos just kept shooting themselves in the foot, making mistake after mistake after mistake. The Broncos lost this game. The Steelers didn't win it, really. Sorry, Steelers fans. It's true. But here comes Mike Tomlin and his pixie dust, as Joe likes to say. And they're 2-0. And now they get the Chargers next week. And the Broncos, 0-2. They go to the Bucs. They're staring 0-3 right in the face. Chiefs get the benefit of a late pass interference call to beat the Bengals. I give the Bengals credit. They played well this game. Bengals should have won this game. They didn't. Chiefs get big field goal from Harrison Butker late in the game, 51-yarder. I mean, the Bengals played pretty well offensively, actually. They outgained the Chiefs, 320 to 286. Mahomes had his lowest passing yardage total for any game he played like a complete game for. 151. That was it. But the big concern for the Chiefs now is Isaiah Pacheco. He is out long term. At least four games and possibly like much longer. That's going to be something to monitor here. The Bengals couldn't really run the ball though. They had total rushing yardage 74. Zach Moss led the way with 34. Mike Gesicki, their leading receiver. 7 catches, 91 yards. Burrow played pretty well. 258 and 2 touchdowns. Then finally last night, I said it earlier. The Texans just kept letting the Bears hang around. The Texans should have put the Bears away. They didn't. Texans now move to 2-0. One of five teams in the AFC 2-0. Bears 1-1. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll get the sit up, stand down, hey buddy, and we'll look ahead to the next game as well as give you our injury report.